History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Australian singer-songwriter and worship leader Jeff Bullock. He's also released a bunch of books. He's an incredible speaker, great man of God, and we're going to hear a bit of his story today. Welcome along, Jeff. Give us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in 1955, November the 6th, 1955, which makes me 70 this year, which is an extraordinary thought. I was born on Sydney's North Shore in Killara. So we were sort of born into a community of old money, but my parents had become very successful. And so that my whole upbringing was probably a very anglicised old Australian upbringing. I went to a private school on Sydney's North Shore, Knox Grammar School, and we had one of those nuclear families. My sister, who is 20 months younger than I was, well, I am, and my parents. And so I had a very privileged upbringing and a very conservative culture. And I think I still remember my last day at school singing the national anthem, which, of course, in those days was God Save the Queen, with tears running down my cheeks. So that gives you a sense of my culture. I was musical from as long as I remember and grew up on a diet of classical music, hymns that we sang at school every day, and then into the contemporary music, what was contemporary in the 60s.
And I understand that you also worked as a cameraman for a while, is that right?
Well, I had an interest after I left school, after working in a bank and working as a council gardener, I became a trainee at Gore Hill Studios in Sydney, which became a jack of all trades, a vision switching, lighting, sound, boom operating. But I ended up in the 10 years that I was there, becoming a number one cameraman in, so I had my own crew of four cameramen, and worked on Countdown, so many of the dramas, Mastermind, operas, worked with some of Australia's leading actors and actresses of the time.
Wonderful.
And that was a tremendous opportunity to learn production techniques. And I think it wasn't just my ability as a musician or my giftedness as a musician. It was the training of how to put on a production that facilitated a lot of what became the foundations of Hillsong.
And tell us about your conversion experience. I understand you were 23, is that right?
November the 18th, 1978. So, yep, just turned 23. I had a very good friend who was the best man at my wedding, or my first wedding, to be brutally honest, and got a man called Michael Smith who... We would call ourselves partners in crime. It wasn't crime as much as we just were naughty boys drinking too much and indulging in various herbs. And he had a very godly mother. There was a mini revival or an awakening in our group. And one day Michael Smith just shared the gospel with me, and he had this extraordinary... probably one of the most extraordinary conversions that I've ever witnessed. It was just night and day, overnight. And so it was the very early days of Christian Life Centre in Darlinghurst, Frank Houston's church. And on the November the 18th, I went forward on an altar call. But by that stage, with my Christian upbringing, and also that Michael gave me a book, No Longer a Carpenter, I remember handing it back to him after reading it and said, well, I believe all this. So it was a work of the Holy Spirit. I was confirmed in an Anglican church. So it was a conversion experience built on a foundation of a cultural Christianity.
Well, praise God for...
It was wonderful.
Praise God for your conversion. And, you know, a lot of Aussies would be curious to know about those early days of Hillsong when you were writing songs like Power of Your Love and Great South Land of the Holy Spirit. Tell us what it was like in the early days.
I was very musical, and I got very much involved in rock bands and went full-time in a rock band. And I wanted to be a musician, or in the Australian vernacular, a muso. But when I got converted, it was like that left. And all I wanted to do was be a pastor. But I got involved in the music team because I could play bass and guitar and piano. But it was something I did for God. When we started Hillsong in 83, and then I ran the music team. But it was a means to an end. It was just part of serving God. And Brian Houston often would say to me, why don't you write what we used to call choruses, which we'd call praise and contemporary praise and worship? And I always said to him, well, I can't. I don't. I write songs. And then one day I wrote The Heavens Shall Declare. And it was always, these were always prayers of my faith, of my struggles, and going back to God for grace and mercy and peace. But because the songs struck a chord, I suppose they were my prayers, it became other people's prayers. Suddenly there was a demand for these songs, and they just kept emerging. And we started producing music books, and we did two studio albums, Spirit and Truth and Show Your Glory. And then while I was there, we did the five live worship albums. The first five, Power of Your Love, Stones Being Rolled Away, People Just Like Us and Friends in High Places and the Shout to the Lord album. And it was just the most extraordinary thing. We were keeping up with something God was doing. And I like to say I was one of the right people at the right place at the right time doing the right things.
Mm.
But we were running to keep up.
Well, it's an incredible story of how those songs have been sung around the world, and not just your songs, but there's a whole bunch of people from Hillsong that have, you know, gone on to do amazing things around the world.
Extraordinary. Darlene Check, Russell Frager, certainly from my group of people, but then I think after I left, that's where the church changed its name from Hills Christian Life Centre to Hillsong, and that was when perhaps the foundations that we laid back in the early late 80s and the first half of the 90s really blossomed into a worldwide community of worship, and I need to say, and an industry, which I would caution against these days.
Now, I hear where you're coming from, and, you know, the thing is there is a lot of people who are writing worship songs, recording worship songs, who are, you know, so genuine, and God's using them amazingly. And then there's the other side of the industry where it's about, you know, being on the stage and making money, and it's heartbreaking to see the tension between those two extremes, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the tension in faith between doing and being. It's our natural tendency to be human doings. And that definitely works its way into faith. Often it's a foundation of faith, that we see ourselves as doing something for God that gives us prominence or credibility in faith, where Jesus is constantly trying to mold us into being a reflection of him, and our doing comes out of that. But of course, there is an industry, and having been to Nashville a number of times and having worked with musicians and especially lyricists, it becomes very apparent that there are those who are writing heartfelt, desperate prayers and those who are trying to write lyrics and melodies that will get hits and create and support something that is an accessory to faith.
Now, there's a lot of people that probably don't know much about the next chapter of your life after Hillsong. Do you just want to unpack that for us?
Well, I left Hillsong in 1995 purely because God told me to, and it wasn't a vote of protest. And to be honest, it was a tremendous struggle because I didn't really want to go. obviously we were all different people going different places, and the church certainly was going in a direction that it hadn't been going before. But I was committed to the church and to Brian's ministry and to the people that I was pastoring. But there became a disquiet in my spirit until I just knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that God was asking me to leave without telling me why or where. And so I left Hillsong, and very tragically, my marriage broke up about the same time for no other reason than there was a separation of lives, and my wife left me. What followed then, other than some sad failings in my own life, which I've been very open about, I continued more in the evangelical church. And I was doing seminars about the life of Jesus from the New Testament. I wrote two books, which have a look at my website, jeffbullock.com. It's all there. Little plug there. And and perhaps because of the sad misunderstandings of my leaving, I didn't have many invitations into the Pentecostal charismatic world, which it was just how God was leading me and where I was going. So I spent a lot of time with Baptist Uniting Church people and the wonderful Lutherans doing seminars and concerts. And that went through right till the first month of 2015. But during that time, I was exposed to many streams of Christianity, and I think I became rather modernized in my faith and turned towards more a universal grace and turned away from the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the living Christ in words. And so that brought me into the 8 years from 2015 to 2013.
And tell us what life is like for Jeff Bullock now.
Well, now I suppose I keep in touch with my dear friend Michael Smith, who led me to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves to say to me, "You're in revival, mate. You're in revival." And I am. I came to a point where God intervened in a way that was, I would say, far stronger than my salvation experience. And called me out of my life, called me out of the future I'd planned for, where I was living, the friends I had, what I did with my life. I sold my house and moved 3 hours north of Sydney up to Port Stephens. And I made a decision to reestablish the Lordship of Christ in my life in a way I don't think I ever had.
Mm.
A commitment to the fundamental truths of the Bible is the Word of God. It is either the Word of God or it isn't the Word of God. There is no gray. I just came back to the very, very fundamental roots of Christianity. And I've returned to doing seminars and leading worship, although I don't think myself as a worship leader. I think of myself as somebody who speaks about Jesus and then sings songs that would come from that revelation. And that's Jeff.
That's great, mate. Well, it's good to hear you talking about the most important thing, you know, coming back to the Lordship of Christ in your life, because a lot of people ask Jesus to be their Saviour, but not their Lord. And I love hearing you talk about that, mate. And I know that you've got an event coming up, the Breaking Chains Men's Convention in Brisbane at Hope Centre Church at Logan, September 19 and 20. I know you'll be a part of that, doing worship and sharing there alongside Alan Meyer.
I'll be sharing that journey from a cultural Christian and Jesus being part of my life under the fundamental understanding that it's no longer I that live, I've been crucified with Christ and Christ lives with me, and the fruit of that,
amen,
which is extraordinary.
Amen. Well, looking forward to catching you at the Breaking Chains Men Convention. And I know that you've got other things you're doing. You know, if people want to book you to speak or to lead worship or to be a part of an event, they can search up. What's the website again?
It's just jeffbullock.com, and there's there's links to my whole life in there, all the music, the books, all the sheet music is there, and you can contact me. And look, I will go wherever God leads me.
Amen.
And I'm here. I just want to help. That sounds like Kevin.
Awesome, Jeff. Well, mate, it's so good to catch up with you. I reckon you're a history maker. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
God bless you, mate. Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.